Morning, church. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, as mentioned by Stephen, it's my birthday. Well, actually, it's quite amazing because, you know, we celebrate birthday according to Chinese calendar. But we also have a birthday according to the Western calendar. But somehow, amazingly, today is this 2 days exactly the same, you know, just like 38 years ago, it's the 1st of January, it's a Chinese calendar, and it's the 10th of February. And usually you don't have the same day. It's always shifted maybe by 5 days, 10 days. Yeah. Well, anyhow, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. So we are in a series of teaching from the Gospel of John. Stephen preached on the chapter 1, the Word became flesh, and then Frank preached on Jesus teaches Nicodemus in chapter 3, and then last week Oscar preached on engage people with a spiritual conversation. So the original title was Jesus Talks with a Woman, Samaritan Woman. And today we will talk about Jesus heals the paralyzed man. So I hope you are there. So we'll read from John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another step down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. There was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." And this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible and thank you for this passage. And as we read this together, and we pray that you may open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And also pray that your Holy Spirit may give us understanding and insights, and also enable us to be obedient to your word. And yeah, glorify your name through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in the verse 1, it's quite short. So after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So we don't know exactly what kind of feast that was. And there are different opinions. Some people say, okay, it's a Pentecost. Some people suggest the idea of, yeah, it's a tabernacle. Or some scholar even suggests it might be the second Passover in the Jesus' ministry. But whatever, we don't find a clue that, you know, we can't really identify the feast mentioned by John here. So it's probably not necessary to take too much effort to debate on this minor issue. And in verse 2, you see there's a name, the Sheep Gate. The Sheep Gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda. So this location given here was near the Sheep Gate, which was mentioned by Jeremiah. Nehemiah. By Nehemiah, and the pool's name was Bethesda. It means the house of grace or place of mercy. And this pool, as mentioned by the text, is surrounded by five colonnades. And probably these five colonnades or five porches served as a shelter for the sick people and also those disabled people. So now in verse 3, it says, in these five colonnades or five porches lay a great number of disabled people, blind, lame, withered, or paralyzed in the modern language. So paralysis causes a person to become partly or totally or wholly incapable of movement. So the word, this paralysis, comes from a Greek word. It means disabling of nerves. And so, as the word suggests, it's often caused by some damage in the nerve system. And usually it has to do with the spinal cord. Because spinal cord is like the brain's relay system. So when something happened, some damage in the spinal cord doesn't work or is injured, so the brain can neither send or nor receive signals from an area of the part of the body. And the paralysis is that result. So in the verse 5, one man was there who had been disabled, who has been an invalid or paralyzed for 38 years. So there were many people, a multitude of people, but Jesus singled one person out of many who had been paralyzed for 38 years. So Jesus was full aware of this man's circumstances by the supernatural knowledge he has. Also by that same supernatural knowledge, he addressed the issue with the Samaritan woman. He said concerning his past marriage, so she had five husbands and the man with whom she lives is not her husband. So with that supernatural knowledge, now he's talking to this man. And Jesus said to him, in verse 6, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? Well, this question is often mentioned by, used by Jesus to testify his compassion. And also, not only a compassion, but also to establish a link between the spirit of the person and his own gracious purpose. Do you want to be healed? When the question came to this mind of this man, it may sound to him like an idea, yeah, now a good person came to me, and maybe this person can help me to do what? So this person is willing to help me. But in his mind, this paralyzed man answered. He said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going there, another steps down before me. So that's how he perceived the question of Jesus. He perceived that Jesus is the one who is willing to help him by putting him into the pool the next time, or at the proper time. And this answer might sound strange, because I guess in some Bible translations, there's one verse inserted after verse 3. It's somehow a controversial sentence. You may see that it says, angel of the Lord will come down, and then whoever step into the water, the first, and then all his disease will be healed. But somehow this verse, I think, is fabricated. It's based on this man's answer. That's why in the traditional views, this verse is deleted. But anyhow, this was a popular belief of those disabled people, and they believe that if anyone who steps down into the water, the first, when there's a stirring of the water or bubbling of the water, and then he will be saved. And probably that was also the reason why he was waiting there. I mean, of course, there's a shelter that you can receive givings from the people, but also that's maybe his hope. His hope was set on the water, on the pool. In verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. So I guess most of you remember that Jesus also healed another paralyzed man in Capernaum, which was close to his hometown. Maybe we can take a look at that account and to compare these both healings. And in Matthew chapter 9, also in Mark chapter 2, it says, Jesus came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to this man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus answered, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, They were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. So you see, the same command was given by Jesus. So get up, take up your mat, and walk. So the major difference is that in Matthew chapter 9, he also said, your sins are forgiven. But this was not mentioned in John chapter 5. So what does it mean? Is it true that a person has received physical healing, yet his sin has not been forgiven? Is it true that God can heal a person's physical diseases, yet cannot forgive his sins? So we'll come to this point later. Now we continue in verse 9. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is a Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. So we know that Sabbath was kept by Jews from Friday evening to Saturday evening, and this was one of the 10 commandments according to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. So I'll read two verses from Exodus chapter 20. So remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. But the Jewish leader said to the man, it is Sabbath and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. This is so-called the Sabbath prohibition, or Sabbath carrying prohibition. And this law, or Jewish law, was based on Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 21-22. So in Jeremiah chapter 17:27-21, it says, this is what the Lord says, be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day, or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your house or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded you, your ancestors. So that verse was so-called Sabbath carrying prohibition, so based on this verse. And actually there had been a very complex process involved in the development of the Jewish law, especially concerning what specific items may be carried on the Sabbath day. Initially, only those commercial items were not allowed to carry it, but later on, basically, except food or vessels you can carry, and all the other items were forbidden. And of course, carrying a mat or carrying a bed, considered as a load, was interpreted by the Jewish leaders as carrying a load, which based on Jeremiah chapter 17, and therefore it was forbidden by the Jewish law. In verse 11, but he answered them, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. And then asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? And on the one hand, this man's excuse was simple and sufficient, right? It sounds very similar to our daily lives. If you blame me for something, then I can simply transfer my blame to another person. There's a way to do that. And you may also remember how Adam transferred his blame to Eve when the Lord said to him, "Who told you?" Or maybe I read, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Notice Adam said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." So Adam's excuse was to blame Eve for his own sin. Here, this man's excuse was not blame Jesus, but transfer his blame to the one who said these words. But on the other hand, his answer is important for us. So the man who healed him commanded him to take his mat and walk. And that man who had the power to heal him also has the authority to, let's say, has authority to address the Sabbath on this Sabbath prohibition, carrying prohibition issue, on this specific Jewish law. So Jesus has the authority to interpret the law in his way. So maybe it was not this man's intention, but nevertheless, we learn something from his answer, that the word of Jesus proves to have both power and also authority. In verse 14, "Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. As there was a crowd in that place, afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you.'" Well, out of compassion, Jesus healed this man. And out of love and justice, Jesus told him to sin no more. And these words may have reminded this man of his past sin. Probably his paralysis was due to the sin committed 38 years ago. And Jesus warned him that a worse thing may happen to him if he continues to sin. More importantly, Wait a moment. So in Matthew chapter 12, and Jesus gave also similar words concerning the past thing or the worst thing may happen in Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus talked about the last state of a person is worse than the first. And there he said, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and an eater then and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So also will be with this evil generation." So we come back to John chapter 5, verse 15. So this man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. So we don't know why this man did that. Perhaps he wanted to just finish his apology, because he didn't know who it was. Perhaps he tried to be obedient to the authorities. But we can hardly imagine that his ingratitude to be the cause, because actually he was really happy and he received the healing. He benefits from the word of Jesus. He can walk, and there must be gratitude in his heart. But nevertheless, his report to the Jewish leaders became the cause of the persecution of Jesus by the Jews in Jerusalem. And verse 17, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." In Hebrew chapter 1, we read, "Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power." And later on, so I'm talking about also some verses afterwards, but it's related to the working. Later on, Jesus said to the Jews, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and also shows him all that he himself is doing." So the work of Jesus is only a reflex of the work of his Father. And once Jesus healed a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years, but the ruler of the synagogue said to the people, they said, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Come on those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day." And then Jesus answered this ruler of the synagogue. He said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So Jesus released this woman on the Sabbath day. And here we see that Jesus also set this paralyzed man free on the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 18. "And this was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Well, occasionally, Jews did in a closer manner, Jews called God our Father in the Old Testament. They called our Father, they used the word our Father, but they never used my Father. Never used in the individual case, my Father. So the reason is, because Jesus said it's my Father, and that's why the Jews immediately recognize that this individual use of my father had totally different meaning. In their view, Jesus was talking about a personal sonship. It's a personal sonship and his equality nature with God. Also, by using the word my father, at the same time, Jesus made God a participator in his own or in his own deeds. Or in the Jewish view, it's his crime of breaking the law. And Jesus, by calling God his own father, my father, he included God in his crime. And that's how the Jewish leaders judge on this issue. Well, I think there are three things we can learn from this passage. The first thing is that God is merciful, and our Lord is full of compassion. He cares for us. In the past, God revealed his characters to Moses by saying, the Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? So the voice of Jesus also speaks to us today. He knows our pains, our sufferings. He knows our wishes, even desperation. He knows our doubts and our thoughts. And he's able to heal our sickness. And more importantly, he's able to save us from our sins. And he's able to set us free from the power of the sin. The second thing, what we can learn from this passage is God is just and holy. He cannot condone the evil of humankind. He cannot clear the guilty. He cannot leave the guilty unpunished. In Romans chapter 1, it says, the wrath of God is against all the godlessness and the wickedness of the people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So in this passage, we see Jesus said, sin no more. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The worst thing could be that someone is healthy and strong, yet dies without knowing God, without having peace with God. And even though Jesus is able to heal this man's disease, paralysis, it is still this man's choice to believe in Jesus. It is still this man's choice to pray, oh Lord, you have healed my sickness, and you have demonstrated your power over sickness, and I believe that you have the power over sin, and you have victory over death. And please help me to sin no more. It's still up to this person to make a choice. And as the name of Jesus was given by angel, right? So the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, said, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So that's his name. The meaning is he will save his people from their sins. And John the Baptist testifies concerning Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's the reason why Jesus came to earth and died on the cross, to bear our iniquities on himself. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And Paul said, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. The third thing we can learn from this passage is that the world would love those who belong to the world, but hates those who don't belong to the world. It is true that nobody should be punished for his good deeds. But it is also true that Christians may suffer for what is right, for good deeds. And Christians may suffer for the sake of righteousness. Because we see that Jesus was persecuted because he healed a paralyzed person. Because of his good deeds, he was persecuted. And more importantly, Jesus suffered once for sins. The righteousness for the unrighteousness, so that he may bring us to God. So be prepared. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this we were called so that we may inherit a blessing. So in John chapter 5, from verse 19 to 49, that's basically the defense of Jesus in front of the Jewish leaders. And there Jesus gave an answer to the Jewish leaders who persecuted him. And I think the last thing we can also learn is we must be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer to those who might persecute you for your hope or for even for your good deeds, to give a reason for our hope. And that's how Peter said. Peter said, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Sunday service, and thank you that you gather people here as in the prayer of Anska, as he said, it's a miracle that everyone who is here is a miracle. Yes, Lord, it is a miracle that you brought each of us to this place to hear your word and help us to believe and help us to obey your word. And help us to also to do good deeds, even though people may insult us, people may speak evil against us, and help us to endure, and help us to walk with you, and as our Lord Jesus did in his ministry on this earth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.